ours to protect. Brought to you by Radio Kerry, the IBI, and funded by Comisión na Mban with a television licence fee. For more info, check out ourstoprotect.ie.
9 years ago, the sand dunes of the Maharees were crumbling. Large-scale illegal camping, parties on the dunes, and people taking shortcuts across the dunes to the beach had degraded the marram grass, which knits the sand dunes together. A series of storms showed just how vulnerable the local community was. Aidan O'Connor and Martha Farrell of the Maharees Conservation Group explain how the issue came to a head.
It was 2015, coming into 2016, we had a series of storms. And like, you didn't know if you could actually get to work in the mornings. After each storm, the face of the dune was left exposed. So any bit of wind you got after that just brought the sand just right up on the road. And there was a few times where you'd have 4 or 5 feet of sand across the road, and you couldn't pass it unless you had a tractor or a truck or something like that.
9 years ago, I suppose people were more concerned about the road than the dunes. The road had been covered with maybe 3-4 foot sand drifts on several occasions, and that meant that people were really cut off. So they had to wait until the local authority came to clear the road. Because it's a Natura 2000 site, a solution for the sand deposition, the sand that was being blown up and over the sand dune and deposited onto the road by a series of Atlantic storms, you know, there wasn't really a clear-cut solution, because, of course, in a Natura 2000 site, you really have to, particularly in a sand dune site, you really need to allow that sand to be dynamic and to move around. So, you know, there were a lot of question marks, sorry, is all I can say. And people were anxious about the future in Maharees. Was this going to be life into the future? You know, queuing to get home until the road was cleared of the sand.
A crisis meeting of the local community was called to see what could be done to tackle the problem.
Famously, Dr. Eugene Farrell from the University of Galway challenged those gathered to form a team or a committee and start organising and start acting for the community. And that's precisely what we did. And 15 of us joined that team, and we formed what is now Maharees Conservation Association, what is now a registered charity. None of us is a coastal geomorphologist or a wildlife biologist. Our backgrounds are very varied, and we do have a lot of transferable skills, but we really didn't know too much about what we could do about the situation. Now, we had the common sense to seek advice from those who did know. Mm-hmm. So again, we kept in contact with Dr. Eugene Farrell. We sought advice from the National Parks and Wildlife Service, Clean Coasts Ontashka, and MTU. There's an excellent wildlife biology team at MTU, and you know, they were all so eager to help us, you know. So our success story really was based on developing really strong relationships with these partners, and it is a collaborative success story. I suppose what we did then was we just fenced off vulnerable areas of the sand dune, these sand dunes that were in effect protecting the only road in and out of the residential area. We knew that, you know, from a research botanist from the National Parks and Wildlife Service, that if you walk on the marram grass 10 times, it dies. And that marram grass is playing an important role. Firstly, it keeps the sand together, so it binds that sand. And then secondly, it acts as an anchor plant for other species. So, of course, we didn't know any of the names of these species at the time, but now we're very well acquainted with them. So species like bee orchids, pyramidal orchids, bird's foot trefoil, lady's bedstraw, all of these wildflower species are what keep the invertebrates in business, and they in turn feed the birds and the toads. And, you know, I suppose that was an awakening of sorts to many of us who didn't really understand that, yes, Maharees is stunningly beautiful, but actually it's alive with wildlife. After a year of that dune being fenced off, we could see this absolutely spectacular recovery. The aerial shots, even after a year, won us a lot of favour with people who might have thought we were being a bit draconian at the time, you know, literally stopping people driving onto a dune they might have driven onto for 30 years. But they could see that it was paying dividends. And then we extended that work 800 metres to the west. Mm-hmm. And we can really now see that work paying dividends because our dunes are so strong and we aren't seeing any net erosion. You know, obviously you'll always have, you know, some dune scarping during the storm season in the winter time, where that sand is taken out and deposited into the bay, but over the course of the summer it will be redeposited on and form embryonic dunes which go on and feed that fore dune. But really, like, it's been such a community effort. We have, from that 15 people originally got involved, we now have 54 people out of a population of 300 who are directly involved in the work of the Maharees Conservation.
A key part of protecting the sand dunes was stopping all illegal camping there. Aidan says large groups camping and partying in the dunes had become a regular occurrence in the summer.
Before we started moving campers on, we would have had people having 50 birthday parties in the dunes. They'd put up a marquee and they'd have a full party in the dunes. So when I mean camping, I mean parties, raves, you name it, that was going on here. We used to have busloads of people getting off here and going back to the dunes for parties. So that was the reason we stopped camping.
Yeah.
We have to stop everybody. So if somebody comes along in one tent just for the night, sure enough, they might not do much harm, but when you stop camping, you have to stop everybody.
Yeah.
That was the reason that we actually stopped camping.
He also explains why the marram grass is so important and why we need to stay off the dunes, not only in the Maharees, but everywhere.
The marram grass has roots on it. They're like 30 foot long and they keep the whole dune together. So without the marram, all you'd have is really soft, loose sand and the wind would just blow it away.
So then you'd have no protection whatsoever.
No, our road would definitely be gone.
Yeah.
Because the marram will keep rising as the sand feeds around it as well. And that forms your dune. So the more sand it feeds it, the healthier your dune is.
Yeah. It almost kind of knits it together.
It knits it together, yeah.
Yeah. And obviously you've seen benefits to wildlife as well, haven't you?
Yeah, since people have stopped walking through the dunes, we've seen the biodiversity improve. We have the natural jack toad here. The toad will do well in some years, but if it's really dry, then the toad won't do well. But we still protect him as much as we can.
Yeah. And of course, you've all sorts of flowers and ground nesting birds and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, we have a lot of ground nesting birds here. And like, it's important not to walk where they're nesting. Yeah. And keep dogs on the lead is very important for the ground nesting birds.
Okay. And what kind of months are you telling people that the dogs must be kept on the lead?
I suppose from March, the end of March until the end of June probably would be.
Okay. Because I'm not sure the wider public is aware of that.
No, they definitely are not.
Yeah.
No, even a lot of local people wouldn't be aware of that.
Yeah.
You know.
You look at other beaches and you've done fantastic work here with your dunes, but you would often see scrambler bikes and quad bikes and that kind of thing on some of the big dunes.
Yeah, scrambler bikes and quad bikes, they shouldn't be left near a dune. And it happens here on occasions and they're normally stopped after a short space of time.
Yeah, but it's causing huge damage.
Well, if they were left to do what they want to do, they'd wreck the place.
Young people in Castle Gregory have also gotten behind the project. Students from Manscull Nua An Lé Thrú, led by their principal Karen Lenner-Hassett, have organised beach clean-ups, planted marram grass and raised awareness about why protecting the dunes is important. Leaving Cert students Patrick Harrington-Stack and Emily Heisman talk about the work they've done, which recently saw the students selected as All-Ireland finalists for this year's Eco-UNESCO Young Environmentalists Awards.
So in TYF we started our project called The Habitat Heroes, and we started working on specifically marine conservation because we were inspired by our local area living so close to the beach. And we started off by creating a documentary called Ocean Eye, in which we interviewed experts.
And it was basically about keeping our coasts clean, beach cleanups. We even held beach cleanups with our school. We added those clips into the documentary. But we realised then the audience for our documentary was our age group, really, and older than us. So we wanted to raise awareness for the younger people, obviously, because they're our future for sustainability and for the environment and everything. So then
myself and another member of our group, Kira Henderson-Sixsmith, started working on our children's book, Nelly to the Rescue. And we attended local primary schools to promote the book and to share the tips that we'd learnt with the students and to teach them that they could make a difference in protecting our coastlines also. We then translated the book into Irish under the title Nelly Cuntar Hála, to target students specifically along the west coast of Ireland, where we noticed that there's a lot more biodiversity along our coastlines.
I suppose one of the issues is that maybe there isn't enough information out there, because I don't know if people fully understand, I know I don't, the damage that you do if you walk onto a sand dune.
Yeah, I've definitely seen the damage myself, because I live in Maharees, covered in sand dunes, and you'd see people coming up on them, walking all over them, and they don't realise what damage they're doing. But then we'd see it, then all the marram grass, it's just dying. And but thankfully people like the Maharees Conservation, even our school, we went and planted marram grass, which has helped it like tremendously, like it looks way better. So I think the main thing we need to do is raise awareness for people that don't really know.
TY students at the school, Roan Gagan-Hayes, Aidan Murray and Killian Flynn, believe educating the public on why the sand dunes matter is really important. They've been learning all about that during their transition year.
Well, we're mostly trying to gain more knowledge on it. We talked to Maharees Conservation about it, and they showed us loads of before and after pictures of the marram grass and all sorts, and how much it had grown back just by telling people what they were doing unknowingly.
That information that you got, I mean, is this stuff you knew already, or was it new to you?
No, I hadn't really looked into this before, but now that we've done our research, we've learned that tourists, people coming in who haven't been informed about this, or it's their first time coming here, they just wander up the dunes and they'll trample over birds' nests and narajacks wherever they're nesting and destroy their habitats.
Yeah. And would you say this is something Irish people maybe just aren't aware of?
Yeah, I'd say so. Like, people from the city, they wouldn't know, like, kind of wildlife areas and how, like, in danger they can be. Yeah. And just what to do, that they like, to protect them and stuff.
Yeah. You're a surfer, I believe, so you'd be around the coastline a bit. You saw yourself the damage that had been done on the dunes.
Yeah, it was very bad, and the Maharees Conservation did a brilliant job restoring them.
Yeah, but you still can go to other beaches and see kids up on the sand dunes. You see scrambler bikes, you see quad bikes. This is a problem not just here, but everywhere really in Ireland.
Yeah, you see young people running up and down them, and even older people with their quad bikes, dirt bikes, tearing up and down, ripping apart habitats for the animals. And I think the most important thing is just raising awareness, because you can't be putting signs up everywhere and telling everyone to stay down or whatever. I think raising awareness about the damage is the most important thing.
A new project called Narth na Macharí, funded by Creative Ireland, is taking place at the moment, which is looking at finding new ways to build coastal resilience and community-led adaptation on the Maharees. Silke Michels is one of the creative artists working on that.
It's about working with the community. It's really people who may have not been involved before so much. So it's kind of, how can we widen it out to the community? How can we get people involved who maybe weren't so involved before? So we're using creative methodologies to kind of get people in contact. We've been doing walks and talks. You know, it was really important for us to get to know the place and the people. People have taken us on walks, and we heard a lot of experts talking about the importance of the place. And that's why, I don't know if I mentioned it, but the project is 18 months long, and that's been really fabulous to have that amount of time, you know, really to embed yourself in a place and really getting it to know and understanding people's stories. And of course, it's more than stories, it's people's lives. And there are challenges that are being faced here. And with one of our creative methodologies, we're using mapping. And we're using mapping as a tool for people to kind of engage in a different way with their place, so they can perhaps put their fingerprint on their favorite place. They can also kind of show us the challenges, you know, and changes regards flooding or erosion, things they have witnessed. Mm-hmm. We're also involved in a podcast that we're just starting now. And again, it's about bringing the wider community in, really kind of having voices heard that may usually not so loud. We would love to get the intergenerational voices, you know, maybe children kind of interviewing their grandparents, how was life, how was your childhood, you know, and really kind of looking at the changes, also learning from the past, because people were very innovative at the time. You know, they had to make a living because it is very isolated here, and it has been for many centuries.
So 9 years on from the degradation of the sand dunes and the Maharees, the community has shown that if you work together, the damage can be reversed. Coastal communities in Kerry who are worried about coastal erosion are welcome to contact the Maharees Conservation Group for advice and help.
Ours to Protect. Brought to you by Radio Kerry, the IBI, and funded by Comisión na Mann with a television licence fee. For more info, check out ourstoprotect.ie.